Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. It's Red Men Radio. We're back with another podcast. We're going to kick off. Actually, we had a couple of tweets. We had loads of tweets in, to be fair. We had one from Narek on Twitter, and he says, "Loving your work, but would prefer if your podcast contained Liverpool questions only. Maybe have a separate podcast for random stuff." With that in mind, Gadge underscore Moan says, "What's your favourite modern non-sports video game?"
Modern non-sport, Zelda Breath of the Wild.
It had to be, didn't it?
It had to be. It's the only game that's modern that I've got.
Did you set yourself a target of doing something on that game?
You're completing it.
Well, you completed it, but I mean, beyond that, you had, there was like a shrines or something.
Oh,
or
yeah,
something.
The 120 shrines, I did it.
Did you?
Mm.
Wow. Mm. If you, anyone listening,
I think it's about 250 hours I've put into the game so far. Like,
what was the last game that you put that many hours into?
Footy Manager.
It's Football Manager, isn't it? The only other game.
When they used to tell you need to change your underwear and all that stuff.
Yeah, the addictiveness rating was one of the finer points of gaming.
Favorite, like a badge of honor.
Non-sports video game, there's tons. Historically, I had like the core franchises of Metal
Modern.
Gear. Metal Gear, then. The fuck you. But you know, I know skateboarding is technically a sport, even though really it's just a form of travel as far as I'm concerned.
A commute.
Yeah, it's how Marty McFly
gets. I actually saw someone commuting on a skateboard in London last week.
That doesn't shock me. Yeah. London.
Hipster.
Hey. Skitching. Well, it's not Tory. You're not, no Tory skateboard, do you?
That's true, actually. It's a good point.
It's quite the antithesis. It's probably Greens, to be fair, aren't they? Which is fine. So the key topic for this week, we're going to take more of your questions later on, of course, because let's delve into the Liverpool-related stuff. This kind of came about. We did a topic on Social Club on Ball Street this week, and it was about players that have been written off at your club, and also like underrated players to some extent as well. And one of the ones that came up in the comments was Jordan Henderson, and I think he's become quite a divisive figure for Liverpool fans in recent weeks in particular, and inevitably having that captain's armband, I think, places a lot of expectation on him as well. I want to talk about, first let's talk about Jordan Henderson, and then I want to move on and talk about what we feel a Liverpool captain is, a Liverpool captain should be, and what kind of a captain, what represents a captain's performance. Because I think the consensus was, Chris, after the game at the weekend, the second of the two Leicester games, definitely not the first, the second of the two, that was a proper captain's performance from Jordan Henderson.
It absolutely was. Like, and you know, I felt that he needed it at the time as well. And I think I felt the team needed it. You know, you need your experience pros to turn up in games, especially when you're not in great form. Winless streak was the thing that was doing my head in. You know, two draws, two losses is
when
a winless streak.
When is winless streak a thing?
I don't know, but it seemed to be getting into the commentators' point of view and all that type of stuff. Right. And I was just like, what is this winless streak stuff? Anyway, regardless, Henderson needed to put in a captain's performance. Not only did he need to put in a captain's performance, he needs to put in a good performance on the pitch.
Yeah.
And I think the two went hand in hand at the weekend, and that was why I was so pleased for him and pleased to see, because you can be a good captain and you can still have a shocking game.
Yeah.
And that's what people don't seem to be able to realise nowadays. You know, there were so many times when, you know, for me, Steven Gerrard is the best captain of my lifetime, but I don't even consider him as the captain of that club for a large period of that. You know, when you talk about captains, what is it you want to see? Is it you want to see someone who leads by example, or do you want to see an organiser who's not afraid to tell people when they're doing something wrong and who's happy to G them on and all that type of stuff? And for me, Carragher was always the captain of Liverpool Football Club.
Yeah.
And yet, as time goes by, people seem to forget that. You know, Gerrard, there was debate about, was he a good captain when he was the captain?
Yeah, absolutely. absolutely.
And yet now, because he's retired and he doesn't play for us anymore, he's the greatest captain that anybody's ever seen.
That's what happens, isn't it? That's legacy.
No disrespect to Steven Gerrard, by the way, who's pretty much the best footballer that's ever played for the club.
No, I absolutely agree to that, and that it shouldn't be misconstrued as a criticism of him in any way, shape or form. It's just fact, you know. I think this is very similar to the stuff we did last week. Those of you who listened last week, obviously thanks very much. The listens that we're getting on these is just fantastic. And also, if you're enjoying them and you're sharing it and you're telling people about it, by the way, you're a genuine hero.
You're a captain.
That was a captain-like listener performance. We discussed Rafa's Liverpool last week and how it's now starting to be looked back upon with kind of like this nostalgic haze that people are, how great we were, so how great and solid we were defensively. Yeah, you know, we organised the defence, but it was far from flawless, and we used to complain about being too defensive. And that's the thing about Gerrard. He was a tremendous footballer for Liverpool, but there were complaints over his captaincy all the time. And the problem I've got, again, that's the thing with it, is that I think Jordan Henderson, because of where he's come from as a Liverpool player, I don't necessarily just mean Sunderland, which obviously Tory Haven that it is, Brexit Haven, I should say, more than anything else. Sorry, I'm doing it again.
They're inextricably linked, Paul.
Absolutely. The fact that he came through and he struggled, you know, he never hit the ground running at Liverpool. And I think that accounts for a lot of fans' thoughts and thinking on a player. For them to then take the captain's armour, I think a lot of his captaincy has kind of been tainted by the fact that we've had to watch his career progress to some extent. He was never that. He's never been a Steven Gerrard. He's never been a match-winning footballer, really, for Liverpool. And that's always impacted. I think people have viewed this captaincy, whereas that, and equally on the flip, that's why people look, it's easy to look back on Gerrard, because look, the man scored a fucking header in the Champions League final. The man covered every blade of grass in almost every position on the field to get us across the line in that game. He single-handedly almost won an FA Cup for us, or certainly got us the penalties. So yeah, you know, that's the Jordan Henderson. I mean, again, we do it. The boots. This is the size of the armband he has to fill, but it's probably a little unfair, all told.
Comparing him to Steven Gerrard, massively unfair. You know, one of them was one of the greatest footballers that's ever lived, and one's Jordan Henderson, who's going to be a good footballer, and he'll probably be looked back upon as a good footballer, even at Liverpool. I still think he can go and achieve that. Like, I was looking at him, and I mentioned to Tom during the game, he's grown up a lot with Liverpool.
Yeah.
You look at him now and he looks a little bit weathered, and he's got the beard, and it feels like he's had the pressures of the world on his shoulders at the moment, and the weight of the world and stuff. And he's having to deal with that while he's going through a bad patch, not only in form footballing wise, but he's still coming off the back of some injuries that he can't understand. And, you know, there's been so much done on the mental health of sports players around the world and how they deal with these injuries and these absences from training, and, you know, the group camaraderie that you get from going to training every single day, and you might not be joining in with the lads, and there's a whole thing of stuff that he's had to deal with mentally that we don't get to be privy to in any way, shape or form. And, you know, he's coming back from that. Is he feeling his body's right? Is his body right? And then he's got to get the performances back. He's looked rusty. He's not been playing well.
Yeah.
He's still got to try and... This is the thing that I can't imagine how difficult this is. Trying to lead a team of 10 other players when you're playing shit must be one of the hardest things to do in sports. I've never been a captain,
and I'll
never know that. But what I can from looking on the outside, go, that must be fucking hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're turning around and you want to G people up, or you want to say you're not doing that, and you can just turn around and go, lad, you've misplaced 7 passes in the last 10 minutes here. You're shit.
Yeah.
What are you fucking telling me for? So it must be a difficult thing in and of itself.
I went off on one on the Reds News Roundup last week a little bit about the Jordan Henderson thing, and saying that, you know, that's the problem with him, is that I might have used the expression bang average. I apologise if I did. I think I was a bit swept up with it all at the time. But if I did, I didn't mean it. What I mean is by that is, I think he's, as you said there, I think he's a very good Premier League footballer. I think he's an international calibre footballer, but unfortunately, and it was more down to, it's more than what he's done and what he's won. Like Steven Gerrard got, look, he's fortunate in some regards. Now he plays a part in the treble winning season, but he's still a young player developing at that point. He's not the Gerrard.
He's not the captain.
Exactly. He's not 2005 Gerrard. He's not. he's years away from that at that point. It's still the main men of that team are still Michael Owen, Robbie Fowler, Sammy Hippier, etc. Didier Mann, etc. etc. But he got to win those trophies and have the experience of being in a team that won things and got to learn from other winners. Whereas this is the nature of where we are, is the Jordan Henderson's. Yeah, he had Gerrard, and I think that will have had a massive impact on his career, undoubtedly. But he's now left in a squad where he's the senior man in the squad, and he's got a League Cup to his name, and that's a hard thing. And I think that's a hard thing because again, it's not his fault, and I don't think it makes him less of a captain necessarily. Really, in terms of footballers, in terms of his teammates, given the respect he commands, it's probably us putting that onto the players in the team. But it doesn't make it easier from a fan base perspective when things are going wrong. We like to talk about this, and it's true of life, isn't it? When you're looking for wrong things and you're in the mood to fight, we used to do it in work all the time when we used to work in the restaurants. You go in, if you see two things that are wrong,
You start checking,
and all of a sudden you start nitpicking, and a list that should only have three or four things on it can have 10 things on it very easily. And that's the problem with, I think Jordan Henderson falls very much in that category, is that I don't think he's a problem for us. He gets treated, I think, poorly. All that being said, I will defend him because I think he is a smashing footballer. He absolutely needs to start putting more of those performances in, because you know football has a short memory.
Yeah,
and he's two seasons out. Well, he's a year out from when his last string of really good performances.
Yeah, before the injury, he was in tremendous form. Like, you know, you're looking at all the passing stats for the Premier League, he was top of all of them, passes completed, most passes played per 90. He was out for a few games and still top of those most passes and stuff like that. And you know, it's not just about passing. It can't be just about passing. You know, you've got to be direct with your passing, you've got to be incisive with your passing. And Jordan Henderson has got that in his locker. You know, he can play a long ball that releases play, he can switch play, he can win the ball back and start an attack and stuff like that. And you know, he's playing with different players this season in that midfield three. He's looking more comfortable with Chan and with Wijnaldum than say with an attacking midfielder in there. He's obviously playing with a different defence. You've got Moreno to one side, which he's got to cover space for. You've got Trent Alexander-Arnold or Joe Gomez. You've got centre-back pairing that are has been in disarray. The keeper's been changing every game. So it must be difficult from those side of things as well. But, you know, going back to his performance at the weekend, I thought every facet of his game was almost perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, he scored the winner, which always helps as well. You know, Steven Gerrard used to do that consistently. Yep. Not as probably as consistently as we used to. We thought mm-hmm. It's like Daniel Agger. He's a goal scoring defender, but he didn't score for like 6 years or something like that. You know,
I mean, he's not like Daniel Agger in that regard, but I get your point. Is that it's not like Gerrard won every game of football that he took to the field for.
Listen, again, no disrespect to Gerrard, there were games where he tried to take the game by the scruff of the neck and would fail.
Yeah,
taking pot shots from long distance, exactly. And stuff. Jordan Henderson does it the other way. He won't take those pot shots. He'll continue to do and trust that he's playing the right ball at the right time. You know, a couple of weeks ago, the ball that released Alberto Moreno for Moreno's assist was brilliant, and everyone was screaming shoot at him, but we went and got the goal because of Jordan Henderson's decision making in the final third. It's a difficult one for Jordan because ultimately it comes down to the fact that he's been in poor form.
Yeah, and the on the Gerrard thing, like everyone used to go on, everyone's comparing him to Keane and Vieira at the time. He never. Maybe I don't know if Keane played in it, but like maybe the League Cup final in 2003. But maybe Keane gone by then. I don't know. But anyway, you know, that was his big criticism of him. The big games when he goes head to head against his peers, does he come out on top? And the answer was almost consistently no, he doesn't. But he does things in different ways, and he has impact. You know, he still scored important goals in those games and what have you. The Jordan Henderson thing, again, you're dead right in terms of that. And I've said this in the past, and I think it bears repeating, that I'm not sure Jordan Henderson is the player that we want him to be, because I think we want him to be, we want more match winners from him. Mm. You know what I mean? And that's an expectation that's been built upon. Because if Gerrard doesn't end his Liverpool career playing in that position, I think the comparisons are less easy to draw. But the fact that Jordan Henderson basically succeeds Gerrard as the anchor of the midfield when Gerrard was still that 13-14 in particular. Obviously, he kind of dropped off big time after that. That was very much his last hurrah, wasn't it? But you know, he scored in the derby. He was scoring free kicks and taking free kicks and doing all that kind of stuff that season. So he had loads of those. You can go back and watch Gerrard's last season, last major season, that season, and watch the highlight reel and be like, wow, he was in his 30s, he was the tail end of his career, and he was still dominating football matches. So that does make it extra tough. But you're right, I think Jordan Henderson is that, the point I was getting to is that I think he's more of a, he's just a team player, isn't he? He's a fit for the system. He empowers the players around him to go and have the hero moments.
And you have to. You have to with the way that we're defending at the moment. You know, you need to have someone who's going to be diligent in the defensive duties and take them seriously and understand that, you know, if the attacks do break down, he's got to be there. He's got to be in the right position. It's a big responsibility for him, for the team. And I think the attacking players will all understand that. You know, I think they'll give him a little bit of a nod of respect because he's so diligent in those duties and stuff. But another thing that we've not mentioned yet, Jordan Henderson's the England captain as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's mad to think that we whinge about him being the captain of Liverpool Football Club. He's the captain of the national team.
Yeah. But why is that, Chris?
I don't know.
It's because England is shit and Gareth Southgate doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, fair enough, like, but...
But, you know, you get... Yeah, you know, I don't agree with that. But this is the problem we have with players like Jordan Henderson, is that because he doesn't have all that credit in the bank of being a worldie, and he's not, like, the idol of millions, and he's not, you know, wanted by all the super rich clubs in the world or whatever.
This is the thing. It's the same thing with the Chamberlain stuff. Conte was interested. Klopp was interested. Wenger wanted him. Barry on Bebo thinks he's shit, though.
That's true.
It's true, isn't it? It's exactly the same with Jordan Henderson.
Yeah. No, it's completely... You're dead right. It's that. But it's this. We have this running through our psyche, I think, because I've said this about youth players in the past. We a young player plays for Liverpool, and after four games, if he's not scored 4 in 4 and he's not looking like the greatest player ever to pull on the shirt, he's shit and he's not good enough. He's not good enough to make the grade.
What? Why are you covering your tea up? I'm not going to drink it.
I'm not covering my tea up.
You are. You're totally covering your tea up. Anyone who's watching the video will understand he's defo covering his tea up. What's he hiding? I do.
visual gags. What's the video version of this podcast on the redbentv.com? I've completely lost my train of thought on this. But oh yeah, youth players. So if you're not a worldie at 16 years old, you're not good enough. And yet, whatever happened to being at Liverpool's good enough to be, tells you how good you are. Because if you were a youth player playing in any other team that's in the top six of the Premier League, you would look at them and go, wow, how good must they be to be playing in this side? Which we don't seem to have this mentality, and it's baffling to me. And you know, somehow, and maybe it's just that we don't rate ourselves. You know what I mean?
We're deluded if we do remember.
Well, no fucking hell, because we're deluded at every sense of it, because we're expecting us to be up there to challenge, and yet we're so disrespectful to ourselves that, you know, we think that every player, there's so many players who aren't good enough to play for Liverpool, and yet they are. They get, as you say, they're getting picked by managers time and time again. Lucas Leiva was a prime example of this. Lucas Leiva was selected, not like thrown in through injuries, was genuinely selected as a first team regular under like 5 different managers. Now, one of them was Roy Hodgson, but whatever. It just proves that he was very versatile.
Of course, he was an England manager as well. We're kind of fucking out of
absolutely. But the point is that, you know, manager, whether we think they're world class or not, people at certain levels are at certain levels for whatever reasons. Roy Hodgson is a Premier League caliber manager. You know what I mean?
I think he was. I think we'll find out that he's not anymore.
I think we'll find that too. Yeah. They've got a good team coming up. Did they got Man United? They just got beat by. They've got Man United.
They could have anyone coming up. They could have Tranmere coming up, and they'd still lose the game of football. Makes no odds.
I imagine if they do something against Man United. Anyway, we digress. But yeah, this is the point of it. I think Jordan Henderson is a senior example of this. But here's the thing. So was Adam Lallana.
We had loads of them.
Yeah, we had loads of them. But I use Lallana as an example of this, the perfect example of this, because Lallana started to put in top quality performances. And now I don't think there's too much doubt as to the overall quality of Adam Lallana. And when you hear Lallana was voted England's best player last year, you go, yeah, fair enough. And rightly so, because who else is deserving of it? Because he's been good.
Out of interest, do you know the captains of the top six sides around the Premier League?
Let me see if I do know the answer to that. Gary Cahill is Chelsea.
Yeah.
Manchester United is it Ander Herrera?
I don't know. I'm asking.
I know. I'm asking in return.
Yeah, Tom's going to find out.
No. What do you think it is?
No. It was a genuine question. I don't know the answer to the question. I'm asking you. Do you know them? Because my guess is that they're not
Man City's Vincent Kompany.
Yeah,
I'm not sure who Vice is after that. I'd guess maybe Silver's Vice. That's a guess, complete guess. There's probably people screaming into their phones right now.
Arsenal.
Koscielny.
Okay.
Mertesacker. But
Koscielny.
Then Czech,
okay, Koscielny. Okay, we were wrong on that.
Everton's.
Jags, maybe?
Jagielka.
Liverpool, Hendel. Spurs.
Alderweireld over Tongan.
No, it's
Lloris.
Yeah, City, Kompany and Silver.
I was not going to say Lloris there at all. Go on, City was Kompany and Silver.
Yeah.
Yes.
Chelsea's Cahill. United.
I said Herrera. Is it? But hang on. Who else could it be?
It's a weird one. Two weird ones.
Jones.
It's not Jones.
De Gea.
Carrick and Valencia.
Oh, shit, Carrick, of course it's Carrick. Yeah.
Valencia saying, okay. It's interesting though, isn't it? I mean, you know, we probably should have known the answer to that question.
No, but I think it proves your point nicely, if I'm perfectly honest. I don't know if it proves your point, but it proves our point. And that point is, where are the world-class captains?
Exactly.
In the Premier League.
Because Cahill's not a world-class captain.
Nope.
But he's a Premier League winning captain.
Mm-hmm. Who the best player?
Carrick's won everything.
Yeah,
in fairness, and you know whether I'd consider him as a captain in the vein of what I want Liverpool captains to
he's
be like.
Gerrard light, isn't he? In that,
yeah, exactly. So it is a strange one. You know, it really is. I think Arsenal's being Czech's probably a really good one. I think Lloris is probably a good one.
But it's the fact that
it's about how they deal with the players in the squad, though. This is it. It's not about how well you're playing on the pitch. Obviously, you want to be playing well to be in the first team.
Yeah.
But Carrick is Manchester United's captain, doesn't play every single week anymore.
Yeah.
You know, that's a club captain role, isn't it?
And they've got Valencia,
who's not in my eyes what you would consider as a captain's
very good, very good. He's very good player. Surprisingly good at right back as well.
Absolutely, but it's how they interact with the squad, and that's the one thing that we don't know as football fans. And I say this time and time again, it's that grey area that we exist in. You don't know who the best person to be a captain in the locker room is because you don't see it. You might see how they perform on the pitch, you might see if they're loud on the pitch, they still might not be a captain. So it's very difficult for a fan to know who the right person would be.
So here's one for you. The captains of those top seven sides, put them into some sort of Royal Rumble, Battle Royale style situation. I'm not saying Henderson wins it, but I think he holds his own very nicely. You know, it's based on football ability, not physicality necessarily. But physicality, he's defo doing Carrick.
Yeah,
he's got a distinct advantage over Vincent Kompany
and Czech. You know his weakness.
Well, exactly. But Czech's also, I reckon, you know, like how D'Lo Brown had his chest protector from back in the day, or Lex Luger had the steel plate in the elbow. I feel like that he's got a real heel turn in him, Czech, because having the metal padded helmet.
But the thing is, when he takes the turnbuckle off and exposes the metal, then you're primed to do the old, no, Czech, it's you that's going to get onto this turnbuckle and I'm going to rip your mask off. Bang!
Basically advocating murdering Peter Czech.
No, not murdering, I just want to hurt him.
So you're like, but...
Never said murder.
No, but the reason he wears that is to save him from major head injury.
No, it's fine. Okay, listen, so. I know concussion's a big deal in sports and all that type of stuff.
Concussion.
I just think that he's played on that a little bit too long now. I don't think there's anything wrong. I think he kind of just likes it.
Oh, my God, no. Oh, my God.
I think he just likes it.
Okay. Sad.
I think he likes it.
No.
I think his hair, God. He's probably got bald patches. You know when the baby lies
on
his
head? Have you seen his hair?
Well, no, because I don't care about Chelsea players. But you know when the baby lies on the back?
Plays for Arsenal.
You know... you know when the baby lies on the back and they go it's done that to him, and
he's basically got a bit of cradle cap going
on.
Like, yeah, no, he's true, yes. He's got bad cap head.
I think he wears it during sex. There's an image for you all.
Wow. As well. Oh my god. Like I said, I think if you put them into a footballing contest, you know, like a Wayne Rooney Street Striker, whatever the frig it was called, where you put footballers through a series of drills, and that's like the bleep test, the long ball test, the shooting, touch and shoot test. Compared to all those other captains in that top seven, I think Michael Carrick probably does the technical. Michael Carrick is a technically better footballer than Jordan Henderson, but he's nowhere near them on the physicality.
I think we'd be surprised if Lloris wins everything.
No.
he'll win the bleep test, the passing. He'll win everything, Lloris. Yeah, he'll win everything just because he can.
He's
and it's
badly,
funny.
He's
it's
badly,
funny.
He's badly overrated him.
You used to love him?
I did, but I've watched him play since. And he's nowhere near as good as people think he is. But regardless, I wouldn't say is like all these things. He's not a particularly good footballer. I think the goalkeepers would fall down in a lot of these things because inevitably they're just goalkeepers, aren't they?
Rick the
but yeah, in terms of who else is around there, I think Vincent Kompany is head and shoulders because
he's the captain.
He's world class.
He's also the only one that you would consider as a captain.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, past that, you know, I think, again, these are all solid footballers. And this is the thing, sometimes, like I say, I just think we unfairly judge. I mean, look, it's right to be our own harshest critics, I guess, because that's fine. And again, inevitably, we do exist in the bubble to some extent. You know, and that's why I always think, when I always see stats, I always say, I like the context of stats more than I like stats themselves. It's all well and good. It's why I prefer those, when Sky have those tables of Jordan Henderson. How does Jordan Henderson rank in? It's great saying he completes 500 passes a game. But what does that mean? How does that compare to all the other guys doing his job in the Premier League? And if you can tell me that he's doing it better than two or three players that I really admire in the league, then Bonza, great. That's totally, I can reevaluate my thinking on a player by putting that, by contextualising it. So yeah, like I said, I think that's a very interesting point that I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You were totally going for.
Yeah. Well done, Chris. Sensational.
You don't need to know players when you know football.
You don't need to know the captains. Yeah. You took a stab though. Imagine if it had been like, who are the captains?
A new company.
Paul Pogba. Yeah, exactly. Paul Pogba. Let's say maybe David Luiz. Who, in terms of the best players, if it had been the best player at each club, then it would have struck the point. But
it wouldn't. Henderson wouldn't be ours.
Yeah,
and that's the difference.
But yeah, but the point is, if you didn't know who the captains were.
I had a new company.
Yeah, who was the point? The defensive point.
Yeah, exactly. But he never plays football.
Okay.
So I was confident going in there that, you know, 10 games a year is fine. You can go against him. At least we got our captain. 15 games a year.
To be fair, you could give the captain's armband to most of Man City's first 11.
Yeah.
They're all pretty good footballers, aren't they? But yeah, but in terms of, you know, what does a captain's performance look like to you? What are the contributing, defining parts of a captain's performance?
I want to see him backing his players up to the referee, challenging the referee's decisions and the assistant referee's decisions. I've actually got that right, Fonz. I didn't call him a linesman. I want to see the manager talking to him.
Sorry, Page, I posted a child for political correctness there.
I want to see him talking to the manager and being the guy that then tells the rest of the team what they're doing. I want to see them organising. I want to see them as the first person to sprint over and celebrate with someone when they score a goal. I want to see them in that photo. You know, I want to see them in the middle of the group hug and stuff. I want to see him clapping off the fans at the end of the game. I want to see him playing well. Mm-hmm. I want to see him talking throughout the game.
Yeah, I agree with that. I want him to be harder to impress. If that makes sense,
because
I think there's an encouragement thing. I go back and forth on this over the years, but I always liked the Liverpool side when someone misplaced a pass, they turn around and clap. Like, and I think that's education, that what I've just done there.
Hesitation.
Application. Also, I think there's definitely something to not being too nice. I think he needs to be just a bit more angry, and you know, he's backing his team up, but there should be more of like, don't be afraid to bollock your fellow professionals when they're not they're not doing things quite at that level. Because I think so much of what we do is based on trust, and there has to be a unity and a harmony within the squad to some extent. But equally, it's like you see it in football. I think some people go too far, and I never liked them. And I always thought Man United went a bit too far on it. But then again, Man United used to win trophies all the time, didn't they? So maybe that was it. Maybe there was a thing to it. But I never liked it too much because I think it's like a thing in the stands when people go, hit the target! like the intent was to put it into Rosette. Like, you know. Yeah, good shout, lad. But yeah, I do.
You talking about that guy again?
No. Not the poor lad.
You told that story
to me. Yeah. No, did I? I don't know if he listens, but yeah, I did. I did I think I picked it up from Ball Street, but I did dig out the lad who sits next to me at the match for a couple of shouts that he came out with at the match, and then turns out he does watch. And if you listen as well, thanks very much. We've made our peace with it. He's a good lad. But yeah, no, this isn't him. This is just a general football. So I see this in five-a-side all the time. I remember when we played that HSC tournament a few years ago, and there's a lad who was obviously just a big gobby, the big I am, and he was off the pitch, and he got subbed off, and he was like, hit the target, hit the target. It's like, shut up, you massive tit. Because, like I say, you don't run towards the goal, kick the ball as hard as you can with the aim of not scoring a goal.
Ross.
Poor Ross. Poor old Ross, you nailing him this week. He's right. no, Ross, listen. Now listen, I'm about to make my return to five-a-side tomorrow for the first time in about 3 months. I'm looking forward to playing footy. I'm not looking forward to the physical effort of playing footy again because it takes you 3 weeks to get over the physical hump of getting back into the swing of it. This week is going to be absolutely horrendous, so I'm not going
to
make any
I'm
comments.
Looking forward to it. Tom, should we go again to Paul this week?
Definitely.
Do well. Give me some impetus. That'd be fine.
Someone needs to learn how to beat me and Tom. Like, we're on a bit of a win streak.
Well, someone needs to learn to meet me and Tom. The trick is not beating you. The trick is beating Tom.
No,
Tom doesn't lose five-a-side football matches.
Jamie's got his number individually, though, I'd say.
Maybe, but Tom doesn't lose five-a-side. I've never lost a game with Tom on my team.
I went on I flicked the ball over Jamie's head and consoled it and went on.
How did you get it over Jamie's head?
Right, it was fucking... He's got a massive head, by the way.
Ben TV and jokes. Jamie does our FIFA predictors occasionally.
Yeah.
Go and look at his head. Black sorry, head. Jamie, if you're listening, I'm safe so sorry. Minecraft. Jamie sat off. He's just having a relaxing time. He's not been in for a few weeks. I'll catch up with the lads doing a nice podcast. And there's us skitting his head. Sorry, Jamie.
So I flicked it over his head like Momo. Kicked it really hard. I flicked it over his head and I ran down the pitch and I got into a shoulder barge competition with him. And I held my own for 10 yards, maybe 15 yards. And then he just pushed me off the ball. Like, I was like, oh, you twat, Jamie.
He is very, very good at football, is Jamie.
And he's very strong as well.
He's dead good. But yeah, just to kind of wrap up on this, it's a shame because, but I think you asked the question on the review show. About who should be captain.
And the interesting thing, I meant to mention it before, we just talk for so long, I forget things.
Oh, are you? Yeah. How was your five-a-side performance last week?
So I asked the question, who should be Liverpool's captain? And the interesting thing was that there really wasn't one name that people put forward. You know, it was, we had a shout for Clavin, which I think, you know, hilarious joke. a couple for Mane. Chan as a future captain. Matip, there was just so many people, and I look around that squad, and the only outstanding candidate, and it's not, you know what, the only other candidate that I can see is James Milner, and he doesn't play regularly for us, so exactly. It's kind of
and he is the vice captain. Yeah.
You know, if he was still at the club, I'd have Lucas Leiber as the club captain, maybe, but yeah, I felt like he always played like a captain on the pitch. He was never the best player for us.
Interesting question then to lead us out of this. Ronath LFC says, whom would you replace Jordan Henderson with if you had the money and Klopp's acceptance? Now, I like the idea of just having Klopp's acceptance.
Oh, yeah, I'll take that.
I just want Klopp's acceptance. I'll do whatever.
And a hug.
Yeah, I think if you got a hug off Klopp, that's what it is. I think to gain Klopp's acceptance, it's like an initiation, isn't it? Like a secret handshake kind of deal.
I think it's N'Golo Kante.
Yeah. I really like N'Golo Kante. I'm not sure. I'd be interested to see what he would like if he was left alone to do that job. Because inevitably, you know, he's been partnered with Danny Drinkwater, he was partnered with Matic, he's now partnered with Bakayoko and potentially Drinkwater, but probably not, as he goes on to become the next Steve Sidwell. I think he's too small to do what we need from that role, but let's be honest, we would all be absolutely overjoyed if we signed N'Golo Kanté. Mm. So I think it is a good point.
Another midfielder that I really, really like around the Premier League is Dembélé. Tottenham,
yeah. He's another one where I had no opinion on him whatsoever until Flav from Borussia mentioned him to me.
Same, yeah.
And I watched the next game we played with them, and he's just an absolute bull. He never gets knocked off the ball. But his problem is he's just badly injury prone. I'd love to have him, but yeah, I look around, and the problem is I don't get to watch enough world footy anymore. But there must be a player out there who is like the total package, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know where. I keep seeing Weigl's name mentioned for Dortmund. I couldn't attest to where he plays, but I saw some bits and pieces of what he was doing at the weekend, and he looked that good. But you know, like, the answer is it's probably Naby Keita, to be fair. Now I'm not sure he'll actually play
I don't think he will.
Six as such. But what's interesting, I had a little bit of a thought about this, because you know, people have been quick to totally write off Klopp. Not a lot of people, I'll clarify that. Very, 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 very fractional percentage of the population. And obviously people who are morons and like poo. I've done this before. I wonder whether it's hard for us to see now, and we'll know in the fullness of time, which no one ever likes to hear in football, whether Klopp's, knowing that he couldn't do it all in one hit, and you've done a little bit about this, and I think you're going to do more on this on the Stats Show next week, that phase one was to get the attack right, phase two is get the midfield right, and phase three is get the defence right, because looking at how we attack and looking at how we've bolstered the attack in the summer, then looking at, not because we've not really bolstered the midfield, I think Oxlade-Chamberlain has, but we've not, I think Keita would have been a clear defined improvement on what we do there, but just in the way that the midfield was playing in pre-season and that rotation that we saw, and we're starting to see a bit more of that now because we're starting to see Jordan Henderson capable of going, we're seeing Emre Can getting into the box a lot more and what have you, and I think a lot of that's down to the trust that he's developed with, mm-hmm. and you mentioned it earlier, the trust that someone's going to come in and cover for him if he goes and does that. And I do wonder whether we'll see a bit more of that this season, because there was times in pre-season where Ben Woodburn was playing the six.
Yeah, absolutely. Wijnaldum had a run at six, I think, in preparation for that rotation and stuff. And
exactly.
To be fair, like, Naby Keita would fit perfectly into that type of a thing, but that's also why I think N'Golo Kanté would be a great midfielder for us, and why I'd probably pick him, because he can do the forward stuff as well. And you see him burst and press from position where nobody on the field expects him to press, and it's what Jordan Henderson did in the last game against Leicester. He pressed from the six past his midfield partners, and then it's somebody else's job. Okay, right, Jordan's gone, I'm gonna have to get back in there.
Yeah,
and that is only really worked on the training ground and on the football field.
Yeah.
And we'll see them get better and better at that as the season goes on.
Okay, it's a great question. That's it. This has only just come in, so I haven't had time to pre-prepare this, but that's some of the best answers you come out with in these sort of circumstances.
Oh, Burger King.
Milesy20.
Uh-oh.
Our good mate, Milesy, who's at Clopsy20 on Twitter. From the years you have known each other, what's the dumbest thing the other person has done / said around you?
I have no idea.
I'm going to give you, it might not be the one that I've done, but I'll give you a great example of one of the stupidest things I've ever said in your company. And we were watching, I think it might have been a Euros, or maybe it must have been a Euros game, and I think Spain were playing, and it came up with the distance
that
the players had covered, and they brought it up in
kilometres,
and I said, that's really
confusing.
Because, and you went, oh, why? Because they should put it up in miles. And I said, no, because in the Champions League, they bring it up in metres.
You're a bad man. You're an idiot. Matt has never used that strong point. It's never been your strong point. It never will be your strong point.
There's 1,000 meters in a kilometer. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe I've just said that out loud. Yeah. Oh my God.
I can't think of anything, Paul.
Yeah.
I really can't, mate.
Yeah.
And you've got too much to choose from.
No, I'll pick one. Let me have a think.
I don't know.
I'm not sure how much I want us to reveal on this podcast, if I'm perfectly honest, given that we've already had complaints about not doing the random stuff. Maybe this is a separate one for a separate. Maybe we'll do something a bit closer to a milestone or something.
My mind's gone completely blank, Paul. I can't think of anything that you've done.
I can think of five off the top of my head of things that you've done. But again, I'm not sure whether they would permanently destroy any. Just a bit. Go on, Tom.
There was a certain interview that you did one time that was quite stupid.
What interview, Tom? What interview? That was Paul's idiocy as much as mine.
I'll take that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot. I think around that, I think between the age of 17 and 22, we were just bad idiots.
Oh, proper idiots. And were you with us when I ran through the bus stop?
That is a great one. So, okay, yeah, so let me recount this story of one of the dumbest, if not the dumbest thing Chris has ever done. So there's a bus stop and it's on
Egbeth Road,
just by the turn off to Jericho Lane. It's a bit further down from that, isn't it? Somewhere between Jericho Lane and the...
It's by the Fulwood Arms.
And the Fulwood Arms. Like. So anyway, the back panel of it was a bit loose. Like, this is one of those bus stops that, like, now they're all glass, aren't they? This one had, like, corrugated plastic back panels, effectively, and one of them was a bit loose and it was hanging off a bit, and basically decided that you were going to run through it.
Mm.
So Chris basically took a number of runs from the middle of the dual carriageway, across the road, and threw himself, hurled himself at this panel. And after about, it was a two or three, you finally went through it and took it out. And this is basically, like, these are the things, when you're 17, like, these are the things that, you know, I now look at 17-year-olds and the things they do and think, what are you doing, you fucking knobheads? And that is very much one of those moments. Now, I think we were so proud of that moment.
I still am.
Yeah.
Ran through a bus stop, Paul. Who else can say that? Yeah. Superman, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. to achieve that, and then there was a gathering crowd as we were doing it, and there was a moment. Where,
and it turned out we were at the wrong bus stop, and the kids told us because they'd started them watching. Like, what are you doing now? As we're going into town, they were like, "This isn't the bus stop for the bus that goes into town. It's down the road there." So if I not done that, we'd never have got to town, and you'd never have met that girl.
So super intelligent moment from Chris Pajak then.
Think so.
Which girl? Could have been one of any. It was a good time being 17.
I think we've been sat in a tree drinking red wine for a few hours before that, hadn't we?
That was a high point of the life.
So Chris was the
guest. Chris did have long hair at the time, it was great. So yeah, that was definitely there. We had many of them moments, and at some point we'll probably do an intimate one-on-one podcast where we talk through some of them, but it won't be today. So I'll get through a few more questions before we wrap up. The Jacob Burston at Cobb, You'll Never Walk Alone, says, is Matip our most underrated player? Replied to by Paul MECFS, who writes, most overrated. I really, 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 really like Joel Matip. I think he's a tremendous footballer, but I think when we find him a good partner, we'll see how good he is.
Yeah.
But until right now, we've seen those games. I think Sevilla, was it Sevilla? He was just absolutely outstanding at Anfield, and then he has just a moment, a couple 5 minutes of madness.
Yeah, he's a difficult one to judge. I don't think he's overrated or underrated. I think there are a section of the fans that think he's overrated and a section that think he's underrated, which balances it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Armand K, is Risa our last decent left back, or no. Hale Kancheski?
No. There was a period where Risa was really good,
mm-hmm.
But his last 3 years probably not went then.
Yeah.
I
think the first, and it'll be laughed at now because it gets forgotten, but I think the first couple of years of Jose Enrique, I thought he was very good.
Yeah, first year, certainly, I couldn't... Fabio Aurelio was a good left-back.
Yeah.
Injury plagued his Liverpool career, didn't it?
James Milner was a good left-back last season.
Yeah, James Milner was a good left back last season.
But you're right. I think he's right in the general sense.
He's never really had one.
It's like saying Pepe Reina is our last decent goalkeeper. I think we've had good performances from goalkeepers at times since then. But obviously Simon Mignolet is the prime example of it. Like, he's been our main goalkeeper, hasn't he? But it's tough. We haven't had someone you're like, what? And that's why the thing about Jose Enrique, when we signed him, it was mind blowing how good he was, because we just had. We'd had Risa be shit. We'd gone through the Aurelio not being available and then coming back in. I think we probably had a bit of ensuing in that time as well. And then we'd had Konchesky, and then all of a sudden Enrique come in and he just loved it. He was just dead up, strong upper body, shepherding things. Only been able to turn left and all that stuff. So yeah, it's probably not, there's a case to be made for others, but he's probably not far off by saying Risa's.
Yeah.
Our best, most recent one, certainly. Right, okay, we actually had some on Facebook as well, which I'm just going to quickly nip over and have a quick look at, because, you know, we're multi-platform. We're a multi-platform institution. There's some stuff on there that I need to get past. Ooh, Matt Pritchard. Favourite Star Wars character?
You might have to answer that one first. I've got a lot of Star Wars characters to go through.
Do they all still exist?
Does Mace Windu still exist?
Well, he's dead. But yeah.
Then that's fine.
Mace Windu will do. Why?
Because of his fighting style. I forget the name of his fighting style. Let me...
We've definitely done this on this podcast before, but go on. Favourite Star Wars character? It's daft, but in the general sense, look, I don't think you can look past Luke Skywalker, because as much as he's, you know, a farm boy and all whatever, Return of the Jedi, and everyone goes on about Empire, but Return of the Jedi, when he flips up off the diving board thing over the Sarlacc pit, catches the lightsaber and starts cleaning house. Mm-hmm. I was like 6 or something when I first watched that, and that is that is just amazing. I get hairs stand up on the back of my neck. That's up there with Marty McFly getting the DeLorean started again. It's my favourite moment in film of all time. And Han Solo's just incredibly cool, isn't he?
Yeah.
And then again, if you go into expanded stuff and expanded universe, Thrawn.
Grand Admiral Thrawn is the best, full stop.
Yeah.
As a bad guy. Mainly because it's like if you like Batman as your favourite superhero, if you like that type of thing, because he's just essentially a normal guy who can outthink people. Grand Admiral Thrawn used to look at art and then decide what type of fighting style and how they battle in airship battles and all that type of stuff. Going back on to Mace Windu's fighting style, it's called Varpad. Varpad was described as more than a fighting style. It was a state of mind that led through the penumbra of the dark side, requiring the user to enjoy the fight and relish the satisfaction of winning. And that me in a nutshell. Yeah,
none of which you get from the prequel trilogy in any way, shape, or form.
You have to read the books.
You have to read the books, yeah, absolutely.
All the ones that don't exist anymore.
I think those ones should still be in canon. It's all the after Jedi stuff that's all Star Wars Legacies now, whatever it's called, which is a shame because you've read all of them. I'm so sorry.
I've read about 45 Star Wars books that have all been ripped.
Just a random bit, we're not going to necessarily answer this one, but Prince Skipper Skipple asked a question about Coutinho, which we haven't got time to get into, but he also is Flav, actually as clueless as he comes across when talking about anything that is not Tottenham. They've taken some stick, haven't they, for talking about Liverpool in recent weeks, and yeah. Fair fucks to
yeah,
them.
Yeah, absolutely. Idiots.
Absolute idiots. Last one is a good one for you, actually. I think it's a good in a wider sense. Aaron McCoyd, do you support the NFL players' protest?
Yes, 100%. Because it's a little known fact, but in 2009, NFL players didn't used to stand for the national anthem at games. There was a change to the laws in the NFL whereby they were encouraged. So the NFL encouraged players to go out and stand for the national anthem before they could stay in the locker room and do whatever they want. From 2011 to 2015, the Army actually paid for them to stand for the national anthem to get like influencers, like we're in social marketing nowadays, influencers do it to encourage people to sign up for the fucking army, right? Yeah. So
what Trump's position is based on, we're doing this for the flag, and that the whole thing was started by the army paying it as a fucking big advert.
Yeah.
And people didn't know that. Whereas nowadays you'd have to have hashtag ad on something, do you know what I mean? To tell people that this isn't them doing what they really believe is right.
It's a propaganda tool,
effectively. It's propaganda. So you should be able to stand or kneel or show a sign of respect in whatever which way you want. The fact is, they are showing a solidarity to the way that the police are treating American citizens, and that's fucking good. It's not standing up for what you believe in, it's kneeling down, but essentially it's standing up for what you believe in.
I loved it, and I mentioned this in the office, I loved it last week tonight, a couple of weeks ago, and they did this thing of, what was the player's name?
Colin Kaepernick.
So they were saying, it was intercut of all these news channels basically calling him a dickhead and disrespectful and you know, anti-constitutional and all this kind of stuff, anti-democratic, blah, blah, blah. And saying, you know, he's a disgrace to NFL, he's just dragging the NFL into, they shouldn't stand for this. Interspersed with all these players you've got DUIs and all these players you've beat the kids up and all these players you've beaten their wives up and all this kind of stuff, who teams have no problem continuing to have, and there's no moral outrage about these reprehensible human beings being allowed to take to the field, and yet a guy decides he doesn't want to totally respect it. It's bullshit, isn't it? And I understand there'll be Americans listening, and you know, it's not right of us to you know, if you have that opinion and you obviously you hold it dear to yourself, then fine. But just from the outside looking in, it looks odd.
Yeah,
because again, the fantastic thread on Twitter this week, wasn't it, about things that are actually, according to the flag code or whatever, what is actually disrespectful to the flag is things like it shouldn't be carried flat, which it is when it's laid out on the pitch, and you can't wear it as a garment. Which...
It should never touch the floor, flags and stuff like that. Keith was telling me about that in the tavern, like, and you know, we pinned it up on the wall there and varnished it. So I don't know what that's about and stuff. But there's so many nuances and stuff. But the one tweet that really stood out for me, and apologies, you probably don't listen, you're probably not even a football or Liverpool fan, but it was some guy, I saw it retweeted and been retweeted thousands and thousands of times. It was a guy talking to somebody else and saying, listen, I went to 4 combat tours and I fought so that people can stand up for themselves. It was why I went, not the opposite way around. And that kind of touched the nerve with me.
It's true, isn't it? But yeah, no, in very interesting stuff. And you know, people say keep politics out of sport, but it was paid to be put into sport. So, fuck it. Anyway, that's the most you'll get out of me on NFL this year. That was interesting stuff. I was clued up relatively. Didn't know his name. Great. Thank you very much for listening. If you're watching this on the redmentv.com, you'll have seen a tremendous visual gag of me flipping the bird to Chris earlier on, which you're missing out on if you just got this on audio. If you do just like the audio stuff, then you can get loads of that on the website as well. 5 exclusive podcasts every single week. We're reacting to the football matches as soon as they finish, the Instant Match Reaction podcast. So if you need to vent, if you need to hear our thoughts on things as the game is finished, go over and check that out. And then we've got the Final Word, which is a much more considered look at the game. And we've got the Reds News Roundup, and there's a whole host of extra bonus features as well. So go and try that out for a month. See how you get on with it. If you enjoy the podcasty thing and you want more of it, again, it's not just us. We expand it. We've got loads of amazing guests and loads of amazing people.
And the real reason that people need to go over and check this video podcast is your t-shirt, Paul, because it's an absolute belter.
Yeah. There we go.
Absolute belter. So I was looking at it before and I was like, why is Tyrion Lannister on Grand Theft Auto t-shirt? And I just couldn't. I was like, is that Tyrion Lannister? It's defo Tyrion Lannister. What's he doing on a fucking... And then I was like, oh, it says Game of Thrones. It's just in the Grand Theft Auto. You're so very proud of those type of t-shirts. I like them.
I do like me random t-shirts.
The sleight of hand t-shirt, I'll name it.
Absolutely. Me, let me Rick and Morty, Back to the Future one. Yeah,
that's
definitely.
Cool, that's a great t-shirt too.
Yeah. So yeah, thank you very
Walk
much.
Walk on.
Walk on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.